Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim Malik Yawmiddin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim Malik Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een. Ihdinas sirata al-mustaqeem. Surat al-Din unto alayhim. Great will must be the Alehim, Muladah, Lean, Amin, Salah, Alehim, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Hello, this is Amin Yasir Muhammad, calling from our show, The Good Life, Holy Quran, and Sister Claire Muhammad Education Hour. It is a show where we dedicate our efforts and resources to creating a Sister Claire Muhammad School here, and as a model of Claire Muhammad Schools in the future. Alhamdulillah. The first half of our show we dedicated toward reading 1/30 of the Holy Quran. Right now we are on the second juice. Alhamdulillah, and we're on page 57 of the Yusuf Ali edition, and we're on section 17, number 142 of the second juice. So if anybody wants to participate and read along with us, they can. And so alhamdulillah, I'm going to open up the line as soon as we can, but I'm going to start off reading. Press 1 on your phone if you want to participate in the reading, and I'm starting at juice number 140, juice number 2, but ayat 142. The fools among the people will say, what have turned them from the Qibla to which they will use, say, to Allah belongs east and west. He guideth whom he will to a way that is straight. Thus have we made of you an ummah justly balanced, that you might be witnesses of the nations, and the messenger a witness over yourselves. And we appointed the Qibla to which thou was used, only to test those who followed the messenger from those who would turn on their heels from the faith. Indeed, it was a change momentous except to those guided by Allah. And never would Allah make your faith of no effect. For Allah is to all people most surely full of kindness, most merciful. We see the turning of thy face for guidance to the heavens. Now shall we turn thee to a Qibla that shall please thee. Turn then thy face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Wherever ye are, turn your face in that direction. The people of the book know well that that is the truth from their Lord. Nor is Allah unmindful of what they do. Even if thou were to bring to the people of the book all the signs together, they would not follow thy Qibla, nor art thou going to follow their Qibla, nor indeed will they follow each other's Qibla. If thou, after the knowledge of Isti, were to follow their vain desires, then wert thou indeed clearly in the wrong. The people of the book know this as they know their own son, for some of them conceal the truth which they themselves know. The truth is from thy Lord, so be not at all in doubt. To each is a goal to which Allah turns him. Then strive together as in a race towards all that is good. Wheresoever you are, Allah will bring you together, for Allah hath power over all things. Learn your shit. From whensoever thou startest forth, turn thy face in the direction of the sacred mosque. That is indeed the truth from thy Lord, and Allah is not unmindful of what you do. So from whensoever thou startest forth, turn thy face in the direction of the sacred mosque. And wheresoever you are, turn your face thither. That there be no ground of dispute against you among the people, except those of them that are bent on wickedness. So fear them not, but fear me, and that I may complete my favors on you, and ye may consent to be guided. A similar favor have ye already received, in that we have sent among you a messenger of your own, rehearsing to you our signs, and purifying you, and instructing you in scripture and wisdom, and in new knowledge. Then do you remember me? I will remember you. Be grateful to me and reject not faith. I'm at section 19, number 153. O ye who believe, seek help with patient perseverance and prayer. For Allah is with those who patiently persevere. And say not of those who are slain in the way of Allah, they are dead. Nay, they are living, though ye perceive it not. Be sure we shall test you with something of fear and hunger, and loss in goods or lives, or the fruits of your toil. But give glad tidings to those who patiently persevere, who save when afflicted with calamity. To Allah we belong, and to him is our return. There are those on whom descend blessings from their Lord and mercy. They are the ones that receive guidance. Behold, Safa and Marwa are among the symbols of Allah. So if those who visit the house in the season or at other times should compass them around, there is no sin in them. And if anyone obeys his own impulse to good, be sure that Allah is he who recognizes and knoweth. Those who conceal the clear signs we have sent down and the guidance that we have made it clear for the people in the book, on them shall be Allah's curse. And the curse of those entitled to curse, except those who repent and make amends and openly declare the truth, to them I turn, but I am oft returning most merciful. Those who reject faith and die rejecting, on them is Allah's curse and the curse of angels and of all mankind. They will abide therein. Their penalty will not be lightened, nor will respite be their lot. And your God is one God. There is no God but he, most gracious, most merciful. Behold, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and day, in the sailing of the ships through the ocean for the profit of mankind, in the rain which Allah sends down from the skies, in the life which he gives therewith to an earth that is dead, in the beasts of all kinds that he scatters through the earth, in the change of the winds and the clouds which they trail like their slaves between sky and earth, here indeed are signs for a people that are wise. Yet there are men who take for worship others besides Allah as equal with Allah. They love them as they should love Allah, and those of them are overflowing in their love for Allah. If only the unrighteous could see, behold, they would see the punishment that to Allah belongs all power, and Allah will strongly reinforce the punishment. Then with those who have followed clear themselves of those who follow them, they would see the penalty, and all relations between them would be cut off. And those who followed would say, if only we had one more chance, we would clear ourselves of them, as they have cleared themselves of us. Thus will Allah show them the fruits of their deeds as nothing but regrets, nor will there be a way for them out of the fire. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. I'm at section 21. O ye people, eat of what is on, section 21, number 168. O ye people, eat of what is on earth, lawful and good, and do not follow the footsteps of the evil one, for he is to you an avowed enemy. For he commands you what is evil and shameful, and what ye should say of Allah, that of which ye have no knowledge. When it is said to them, follow what Allah hath revealed, they say, nay, we shall follow the ways of our fathers. But even though their fathers were void of wisdom and guidance, the parable of those who reject faith is as if one were to shout like a goat herd to things that listen to nothing but calls and cries, deaf, dumb, and blind. They are void of wisdom. O ye who believe, eat of the good things that we have provided for you, and be grateful to Allah if it is him you worship. If only forbidden you dead meat and blood and the flesh of swine, and that on which any other name has been invoked besides that of Allah. But if one is forced by necessity without willful disobedience nor transgressing due limits, then is he guiltless, for Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. I'm at number 174, Alhamdulillah. If anybody wants to get in on the reading, yeah, press 1 on your phone.
And yeah, I'll see. What ayat?
I'm at 174 right now.
174. 174. All right. Who means verily, those who conceal what Allah has set down of the book and purchase a small gain of it, they eat into their bellies nothing but fire. Allah will not speak to them on the day of resurrection, nor purify them, and theirs will be a painful torment. Those they have purchased error at the price of guidance, and torment at the price of forgiveness. So how bold are they? How bold are they to challenge the fire? That is because Allah has sent down the book in truth, and verily those who dispute it as regards to the book are far away in opposition. It is not righteousness that you turn your faces toward the east and the west.
Let me pick it up. This section 22. Section 22, 177. It is not righteousness that you turn your faces toward east or west, but it is righteousness to believe in Allah in the last day, and the angels and the book and the messengers, to spend of your substance out of love for him, for your kin, for orphans and the needy and the wayfarer, for those who ask and for the ransom of slaves, to be steadfast in prayer and practice regular charity, to fulfill the contract which ye have made, and to be firm and patient in pain of suffering and adversity, and throughout all periods of panic. Such are the people of truth, the God-fearing. O ye who believe, the law of equality is prescribed to you in cases of murder, the free for the free, the slave for the slave, and the woman for the woman. But if any remission is made by the brother of the slain, then grant any reasonable demand and compensate him with handsome gratitude. This is a concession and a mercy from your Lord. 178. After this, whoever exceeds the limit shall be in grave penalty. I'm on 179 now. In the law of equality, there is a saving of life to ye, O ye men of understanding, that ye may restrain yourselves. It is prescribed when death approaches any of you, if he leave any goods, that he make a bequest to parents and next of kin, according to reasonable uses. This is due from the God-fearing. If anyone changes the bequest after hearing it, the guilt shall be on those who make the change, for Allah hears and knows all things. And if anyone fears partiality or wrongdoing on the part of the testator, and makes peace between the parties concerned, there is no wrong in him, for Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. I'm at section 23, number 183. Somebody want to pick it up there, Brother Rashan?
Yeah. 183. All you who believe, observing as-salam, the fasting, this is right for you, that it was prescribed to those before you, that you may become al-mutakin, the pious. Observing the fast for a fixed number of days, but if any of you is ill or on a journey, the same number should be made up from other days. And as for those who can't fast, who can fast with difficulty, that is, you know, old men, they have a choice either to fast or to feed a poor person for every day. But whoever does good of his own accord, it is better for him, and that you fast is better for you if you only knew. The month of Ramadan, in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs of the guidance and the criterion between right and wrong. So whoever of you cites the question on the fast night of the month of Ramadan, he must up very fast that month, and whoever is ill or on a journey, the same number of days which one did not observe fast must be made up from other days. Allah intends for you ease, and he does not want to make things difficult for you. He wants that you complete the same number of days and that you magnify Allah for having guided you so that you may be grateful to him. And when my slaves ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, then answer them, I am indeed near to them. I respond to the invocations of the supplicant when he calls on me. So let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be led aright. It's made lawful to you to have sexual relations with your wives on the night of the fast. They are a body cover or screen for you, and you are the same for them. Allah knows that you need, that you used to deceive yourselves, so he turned to you, accepting your repentance, and forgave you. So now have sexual relations with them and seek that which Allah has ordained for you, and eat and drink until the white thread of dawn appears to you distinct from the dark thread of night. Then complete your fast till the nightfall, and do not have sexual relations with them or your wives until you are in itikaf, that is, confine yourself in a mosque of prayers and invocations, leaving the world activities. These are the limits in mosque. These are limits set by Allah, so approach them not, just as Allah may clear his signs to mankind that they may become pious, Mutakin. And eat not one another's property unjustly, and eat not up one another's property unjustly in any illegal way. They're stealing, robbing, deceiving. Now give bribery to the rulers that you may normally eat up a part of the property of others sinfully. They ask you, O Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah, I'll take it up from there, my brother. Lord, this, we're at 189, section 24, number 189, ayat 189. If anybody else want to get into the reading, you can press 1 on your phone. And I'll be able to see it here in the studio. They ask thee concerning the new moon. Say, they are but signs to mark fixed periods of time in the affairs of men and for the pilgrimage. It is no virtue if ye enter your houses from the back. It is a virtue if you fear Allah. Enter your houses through the proper doors and fear Allah that you may prosper. Fight in the cause of Allah those who fight you, but do not transgress limits. Allah loveth not transgressors. And slay them wherever you catch them and turn them out from where they have turned you out. For tumult and oppression are worse than slaughter. But fight them not at the sacred mosque, unless they first fight you there. But if they fight you, slay them. Such is the reward of those who suppress faith. But if they cease, Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. And fight them on until there is no more tumult or oppression. There prevail justice and faith in Allah. But if they cease, let there be no hostility except to those who practice oppression. For the prohibited month, and so for all things prohibited, there's the law of equality. If then anyone transgresses the prohibition against you, transgress you likewise against him. But fear Allah and know that Allah is with those who restrain themselves. And spend of your substance in the cause of Allah, and make not your own hand contribute to your destruction, but do good, for Allah loveth those who do good. And complete the Hajj or Umrah in the service of Allah. But if you are prevented from completing it, send an offering for sacrifice, such as you may find. And do not shave your head until the offering reaches the place of sacrifice. But if any of you is ill or has an ailment in his scalp, necessitating shaving. He should, in compensation, either fast or feed the poor or offer sacrifice. And when ye are in peaceful conditions again, if anyone wishes to continue the Umrah or on to the Hajj, he must make an offering such as he can afford. But if he cannot afford it, he should fast 3 days during the Hajj and 7 days on his return, making 10 days in all. This is for those whose household is not in the precincts or the sacred mosque, and fear Allah and know that Allah is strict in punishment. I'm right there at section 25. I'm at 197.
All right. Mahaj, a pilgrimage, is in the well-known lunar month. That is the 10th month, 11th month, and the first 10 days of the 12th month of the Islamic calendar. So whoever intends to perform Hajj therein by assuming the fund, then he should not have sexual relations, nor commit sin, nor dispute unjustly during the Hajj. And whatever good you do, be sure Allah knows it, and take a provision with you for the journey. For the best provision is taqwa, piety, righteousness. So fear me, O man of understanding. There is no sin of you if you seek the bounty of your Lord during pilgrimage by trading. When you leave Arafat, remember Allah by glorifying his praises, that his prayers and invocations at the Masjid al-Haram.
Where are you, brother, right now? Number what? You're at number what?
Number 198.
Okay, all right.
And after the last part of it. And remember him by invoking Allah for all good, as he has guided you, and verily you were before of those who were astray. Then depart from the place whence all the people depart, and ask Allah for his forgiveness. Truly, Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. For when you have accomplished your when you have accomplished your Hajj, remember Allah as you remember your forefathers, with a formal remembrance. But of mankind, there are some who say, Allah, give us your bounties in this world, and for sure there will be no portion in the hereafter. And again, there are some who say, Allah, give us in this world that which is good, and in the hereafter that which is good, and save us from the torment of the fire. For them there will be a lot of that share for what they have earned, and Allah is swift at reckoning. And remember Allah during the appointed days. But whosoever hastens to leave in 2 days, there is no sin on him. And whoever stays on, there is no sin on him. If his aim is to do good and obey Allah, that is, fear him, and know that you will surely be gathered unto him. And a mankind is he whose speech may please you in this world's life. And he calls Allah to witness as to that which is in his heart, yet he is most quarrelsome of the opponents. And when he turns away from you, O Muhammad, his effort in the land is to make mischief therein, and to destroy the crops and the cattle. And Allah likes not mischief. And when it is said to him, fear Allah, he is led by arrogance to more crime. So enough of him is hell, and worse indeed is that place to rest. And a mankind is he who would fail himself seeking the pleasure of Allah, and Allah is full of kindness to his devotees. O you who believe imperfectly in Islam, by obeying all the rules and regulations of Islamic religion, and follow not the footsteps of Shaitan, verily he is to you a plain enemy. And if you slide back after the clear signs, and this Quran and Islam have come to you, then know that Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. You will then wait for anything other than that Allah should come to them in the shadows of the clouds and the angels? Then in that case, the case would already be judged, and to allow to turn all matters for decision. Ask the children of Israel.
Section 26, I'm at 211, section 26. Ask the children of Israel, how many clear signs will we have sent them? But if anyone after Allah's sake, let me read that again. Ask the children of Israel how many clear signs we have sent them. But if anyone after Allah's favor has come to you, to him, substitute something else, Allah is strict in punishment. The life of this world is alluring to those who reject faith, and they scoff at those who believe. But the righteous will be above them on the day of resurrection, for Allah bestows his abundance without measure on who he will. Mankind was one single nation, and Allah sent messengers with glad tidings and warnings. And with them, he sent the book and truth to judge between people in matters wherein they differed. But the people of the book, after the clear signs came to them, did not differ among themselves except through selfish contumacy. Allah, by his grace, guides the believers to the truth concerning what therein they differ. For Allah guides whom he will to a path that is straight. Or do you think that ye shall enter the garden of bliss without such trials as came to those who passed away before you? They encountered suffering and adversity and were so shaken in spirit that even the messengers, those of faith who were with them, cried, when will come the help of Allah? And verily the help of Allah is always near. They asked thee what they should spend in charity. Say, whatever you spend that is good is for parents and kindred and orphans and those in want and for wayfarers. And whatever you do that is good, Allah knoweth it well. Fighting is prescribed upon you and you dislike it. But it is possible that ye dislike a thing which is good for you, and that ye love a thing which is bad for you. But Allah knoweth, and ye know not. We're at section 27, number 217.
All right, number 217. The action concerning fighting in the sacred month. Fighting therein is a great sin, a great transgression. But greater transgression with Allah is to prevent mankind from following the ways of Allah, to disbelieve in him, to prevent access to the masjid, al-haram, or to drive out its inhabitants. And fitna is worse than killing. Persecution is worse than killing. And they will never cease fighting you until they harm you, until they turn you back from your religion, if they can. And whoever of you turns back from his religion and dies as a disbeliever, then deeds will be lost in this life and in the hereafter, and they will be the dwellers of the fire. They will abide there and forever. Verily, those who have believed and those who have immigrated for Allah's religion and have striven hard in the way of Allah, and these hope for Allah's mercy, and Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. They ask you concerning alcoholic drinks and gambling. Say, in them is a great sin and some benefits for men, but the sin of them is greater than the benefit. And they ask you what they ought to spend. Say, that which is beyond your needs. Thus, Allah makes clear to you his laws in order that you may give thought in this worldly life and in the hereafter. And they ask you concerning often, say, the best thing is to work honestly in their property. And if you mix your affairs with theirs, then they are your brothers. And Allah knows him who means mischief from him who means good. And if Allah had wished, he would have put you into difficulties. Truly, Allah is almighty, all wise. And do not marry idolaters, disbelievers, until they believe, that is, worship Allah alone. And indeed, a slave woman who believes is better than a free disbeliever, even though she pleases you. And give not your daughters and nourish to disbelievers till they believe in Allah alone. Verily, a believing slave is better than a free disbeliever or idolater, even though he pleases you. Those disbelievers invite you to the fire, but Allah invites you to paradise and forgiveness by his leave and makes his truths, evidences, verses, lessons, signs, revelations clear to mankind that they may remember. They ask you concerning menstruation.
I got it right here. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. They ask thee concerning women's corsets. Say they are a hurt and a pollution. So keep away from women in their corsets. And do not approach them until they are clean. But when they have purified themselves, you may approach them in any manner, time or place, ordained for you by Allah. For Allah loves those who turn to him and him constantly, and he loves those who keep themselves pure and clean. Your wives are a tilth unto you, so approach your tilth when or how you will, but do some good act for your souls beforehand. And fear Allah, and know that ye are to meet him in the hereafter, to give these good tidings to those who believe. So make not Allah's name an excuse in your oaths against doing good or acting rightly or making peace between persons. For Allah is one who heareth and knoweth all things. Allah will not call you to account for thoughtlessness in your oaths, but for the intentions in your hearts, and he is all forgiving, most forbearing. For those who take an oath for abstention from their wives are waiting for 4 months as ordained. If then they return, Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. But if their intention is firm for divorce, Allah heareth and knoweth things. Divorced women shall wait concerning themselves for 3 monthly periods, nor is it lawful for them to hide what Allah hath created in their wombs, for they have faith. If they have faith in Allah in the last day, and their husbands have the better right to take them back in that period if they wish for reconciliation. And women shall have rights similar to the rights against them according to what is equitable, but men have a decree of advantage over them, and Allah exalted in power wise. We're at number 229. Somebody else want to get in the reading, press 1 on your phone, but we're at 229. Brother Rashad.
All right. 229. The divorce is twice. After that, either you retain her on reasonable terms or release her with kindness. And it is not lawful for you men to take back from your wives any of the bridal money which you have given them, except when both parties fear that they will be unable to keep the limits ordained by Allah. Then if you fear that they would not be able to keep the limits ordained by Allah, then there is no sin on either of them if she gives back the mahar for her divorce. These are the limits ordained by Allah, so do not transgress them. And whoever transgresses the limits ordained by Allah, then such are the wrongdoers. And if he has divorced her the third time, then she is not lawful unto him thereafter until she has married another husband. Then if the other husband divorces her, it is no sin on both of them that they reunite, provided they fear that they can keep the limits ordained by Allah. Then these are the limits of Allah which he makes plain for the people who have knowledge. And when you have divorced women and they have fulfilled their terms of the prescribed period, either take them back on reasonable basis or set them free on reasonable basis, but do not take them back to hurt them. And whoever does that, then he has wronged himself. And treat not the verses of Allah as a jest, but remember Allah's favors on you, that which he has sent down to you of the book, the Quran, and our hikmah, the prophet's sunnah and legal ways, whereby he instructs you, and fear Allah and know that Allah is all aware of everything. And when you have divorced them and they have fulfilled the term of their prescribed period.
Alaikum. I'm right there. When you divorce women and they fulfill the term of their iddah, are you at 232? 232, right?
Yeah.
When you divorce women and they fulfill the term of their iddah, do not prevent them from marrying persons of their choice if they mutually agree on equal terms. This instruction is for all amongst you who believe in Allah the last day. That is the course making for most virtue and purity amongst you. And Allah knows, and ye know not. The mothers shall give suck to their offspring for 2 whole years if the father desires to complete the term, but he should bear the cost of their food and clothing on equitable terms. No soul shall have a burden laid on it greater than it can bear. No mother shall be treated unfairly on account of her child, nor father on account of his child. An heir shall be chargeable in the same way, if they both decide on weaning by mutual consent. And after due consultation, there's no blame on them if you decide on a foster mother for your offspring. There's no blame on you, provided you pay the mother what ye offered equitable terms. But fear Allah and know that Allah sees well what ye do. If any of you die and leave widows behind, they shall wait concerning themselves 4 months and 10 days when they have fulfilled their term. There is no blame on you if they dispose of themselves in a just and reasonable manner, and Allah is well acquainted with what ye do. There is no blame on you if you make an offer of betrothal or hold it in your hearts, and Allah knows what ye cherish, that ye cherish them in your hearts. But do not make a secret contract with them except that you should speak to them in honorable terms, nor resolve on the tie of marriage until the term prescribed is fulfilled. And know that Allah knoweth what is in your hearts, and take heed of him, and know that Allah is all forgiving, most forbearing. Right there at 236. 236.
There is no sin on you if you divorce women while yet you have not touched them, nor appointed unto them their bridal money, but bestow on them a suitable gift, the rich according to his means, and the poor according to his means. A gift of reasonable amount is a duty on the doers of good. And if you divorce them before you have touched them, and you have appointed unto them the dowry, then pay half of that unless they agree to forego it, or he in whose hand is the marriage tie agrees to forego and give her full appointed mahar. And to forego and give her the full mahar is near to piety. And do not forget liberality between yourselves. Truly, Allah is the all-seer of what you do. Guard strictly the 5 obligatory prayers, especially the middle prayer. And stand before Allah with obedience, and does not speak to others during the prayer. And if you fear an enemy, perform salat on foot or riding. And when you are in safety, offer the prayers in the manner he has taught you, which you knew not before. And those of you who die and leave behind wives should bequeath for their wives a year's maintenance and residence without turning them out. But if they leave, there is no sin on you for that which they do of themselves, provided it is honorable. And Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. And for the divorced women, maintenance should be provided on a reasonable scale. This is a duty on the righteous. Allow this to make clear his signs to you in order that you may understand. Did you think?
Large, but I got it right here, brother. Didst thou not turn thy vision to those who abandoned their home, though they were thousands? Didst thou not turn thy vision to those who abandoned their home, though they were thousands in number for fear of death? Allah said to them, die, then he restored them to life. Allah is full of bounty to mankind, but most of them are ungrateful. Then fight in the cause of Allah, and know that Allah heareth and knoweth all things. Who is he that will loan to Allah beautiful loan, which Allah will double unto his credit and multiply many times? It is Allah that giveth you want or plenty, and to him shall be your return. Hast thou not turned thy vision to the chiefs of the children of Israel after the times of Moses, that Moses, they said to a prophet that was among them, appoint for us a king that we may fight in the cause of Allah. He said, is it not possible? Is it not possible? If ye were commanded to fight, that ye will not fight? They said, how could we refuse to fight in the cause of Allah, seeing that we were turned out of our homes and our families? And when they were commanded to fight, they turned back, except a small band among them. But Allah has full knowledge of those who do wrong. The prophet said to them, Allah has appointed Talut as king over you. They said, how can he exercise authority over us when we are better fitted than he to exercise authority? And he is not even gifted with wealth in abundance. He said, Allah has chosen him above you and have gifted him abundantly with knowledge and bodily prowess. Allah granted his authority to whom he pleases. Allah is all-embracing. He knoweth all things. And further, their prophet said to them, a sign of his authority is that there shall come to you the Ark of the Covenant with an assurance therein of security from your Lord, and the relics left by the family of Moses and by the family of Aaron, carried by angels. And this is the symbol for you if you indeed have faith. Over the light, that's your time. We're right there in number 249.
Then when Saul stood out with her army, he said, Valley, Allah will try you by a river. So whoever drinks thereof is not of me, and whoever tastes it not, he is of me, except him who takes thereof the hollow in his hands. Yet they drank thereof all except a few of them. So when he had crossed the river, he and those who believed with him, they said, we have no power this day against Jalut and his host. But those who knew with certainty that they were going to meet Allah said, how often a small group overcome a mighty host by Allah's leave, and Allah is with the Asabarun, the patient. And when they ran to meet Jalut and his forces, they invoked Allah, pour forth on us patience, and set firm our feet and make us victorious over the disbelieving people. So they rallied to him by Allah's leave, and David killed Jalut, the Goliath, and Allah gave him the kingdom and taught him that which he willed. And if Allah did not check one set of people by means of another, the earth would indeed be full of mischief. But Allah is full of bounty to mankind, jinn, and all that exists. These are the verses of Allah. We recite them to you in truth, and surely you are one of the messengers of Allah.
Okay. Akbar, alhamdulillah. We just finished reading the second juz, and we're starting tomorrow, inshallah, on the third juz, and alhamdulillah. Laura, assalamu alaikum. Yeah, this is Good Life, Holy Quran, and Sister Claire Muhammad's Education Hour. Inshallah, we'll have more people to participate in time. I'm in between jobs. This is the summertime, and in between, you know, for educated people, you know, summertime is always kind of troublesome, and even people who have long teachers, the summertime for a teacher is kind of tough. And I was talking to a brother at school, and he's a counselor, and it's always trouble and everything. So I'm in between jobs, alhamdulillah. But I want to refer, Assalamu alaikum, anybody got any questions? But I want to, alhamdulillah, I see my brother here. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad. Brother Muhammad, Assalamu alaikum. Brother Muhammad Sharif, take your phone off mute. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad Sharif. Take your phone off mute. I got your mic wide open.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you good? Loud and clear.
Right. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah,
I'm saying that. Rashad, wa alaikum assalam. You too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was on for about 20 minutes or so, but I was trying to find out where you were reading from. I know you're saying the section in the ayat, but you didn't say we surah. I kept listening to say we surah. So
okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to we surah, you know. Anyway,
well, if you would have pressed one on your phone, I would have brought you in and we could have cleared it up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're right.
Press one on your phone. Like, you know, I'd like to, I was looking at the website and, before I do this.
Yeah, by the way, give me a surah as you read so I know where you'll be starting from tomorrow.
Okay. Tomorrow we're starting at Juz 3, which is page 104 in the Yusuf Ali translation of the Holy Quran.
Yeah.
104. And that is
What surah is that?
Chapter 2, surah.
Okay, gotcha.
Chapter
all right. Good. Okay.
And that is Yusuf Ali. So,
in surah 2, what page we be on tomorrow? I think you heard that I missed that. What page?
Okay, all right. This is Surah 2, Chapter 2, yeah. Page 104. Page 104.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Okay, that's number 250. You know, alhamdulillah, one of the things, I'm looking at the website, Sister Claire Muhammad, STEM University of Space Exploration, and sometimes I get the feeling, I say, well, this may be too much, you know, to me. But on the other hand, I'm interpreting and translating what I know Imam Muhammad was teaching, at least to me, in some of the teaching, you know, that, you know, he knew that we was the people held back and misused and abused, and so now that we are blessed with the Holy Quran and the life of Muhammad the Prophet, and you know, the Imam's insights, Allah is here. As long as we want to be good people, as long as we want to be good people and want to be righteous and everything, Allah in time is going to favor us. You know, he's favoring us now just by understanding it and being able to give what we know to our children and our relatives and other people. You know, that's a great blessing, because once upon a time, we really didn't really know the whole truth. You know, we knew something of the truth, but we didn't really know the whole truth like we do now. Praise be to Allah. So Allah is really favoring us, giving us a great blessing. And one of the things that, one of the ayahs that the imam really, really impressed me when he talked about surah number 2, number 238, Let's see what we got going here. He says, guard strictly your habit of prayers, especially the middle prayer, and stand before Allah in a devout frame of mind. He says, the Holy Quran says, guard strictly your habit of prayers, especially the middle prayer, and stand before Allah in a devout frame of mind. Well, Imam Muhammad elucidated on this. In other words, he interpreted it and expanded upon it in a talk that I read. I must have read that thing a million times, that little excerpt that he had talked about. Guard strictly your habit of prayer, especially the middle prayer. And Imam Muhammad was talking about, well, the middle prayer, you know, is it the Asr prayer? Is it the Zero prayer? Is it the noon prayer or the afternoon prayer? But Imam broke that down. He was talking about the middle prayer, and he was, you know, talking about when the sun is at its, I guess what you call it, zenith, when it's highest. Is that the highest? And in the Bible, Imam Muhammad said that Joshua in the Bible made the sun stand still. So the Imam was saying, when the sun is at its highest, and Allah says, guard strictly your habit of prayer, he says, especially the middle prayer. The Imam broke that down, and he said, Joshua made the sun stand still. He says, why? He says, because the sun is the symbol of the sciences, and the science of just the sciences of biology and chemistry and the social sciences, and just, you know what I mean? The sun is the symbol of that. You know, we need those sciences. And he says, Allah says, guard strictly the habit of prayers, especially the middle prayer. And the Imam says, and Joshua made the sun stand still. So Joshua made that sun, you know what I mean, this is symbolic, but stay in that position way up there. And a society or a people, you know what I mean, since the sun is the symbol of the sciences, the people should appreciate Allah's creation, Allah's sciences, because all the sciences come from Allah. You know, the biology, the chemistry, the earth science, the space science, all that come from Allah, you see. And so Allah has given us the opportunity. He's given us a chance to look into his creation, because it's only Allah the creator and then his creation, and he's given us an opportunity to look into his creation and understand it, you know what I mean, and map it out and dissect it and measure it and weigh it and calculate it and calibrate it, you know what I mean, Allah's creation. He's blessing us. That's why he says, guard strictly your habit of prayer, especially the middle prayer. And the Imam broke that down. He says the middle prayer, the sciences is up there, that sun, the sciences. Joshua made the sun stand still on the people. And then the people gravitated toward that that understanding of the sciences, alhamdulillah. So I'm looking at Sister Claire Muhammad, STEM University of Space Exploration. In other words, this is STEM. The STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. See, Allah is blessing us with that understanding. See what I mean? Our psychology, our way of life, our emotionality, and everything is being solved by the teachings of Islam, and then for the people after that to gravitate and teach their children and expose their children to the sciences, Allah's earth, Allah's universe is a great, great, great blessing. So he says, Hafizu ala salati wa salati wusta, especially the middle prayer, wa kumul ilahi kanitin. Guard strictly your habit of prayer, especially the middle prayer, to stand before Allah in a devout frame of mind. So that's what Allah is blessing us with, guarding that middle prayer, guarding that one. It's probably other interpretations, but this is one that the Imam really, really impressed upon me and really, really, got me interested in what he was trying to say with, the sciences and stuff. The biology, chemistry, the physics, the earth science, space science, And this is where we should take our children to, and bring them up very early when they're 3, 4, 5 years old in a way that they can understand it, and get good teachers too, who observe, the universe, Allah's creation, and are able to talk to these children about it, alhamdulillah. So, I like that ayat. That's 238. The heart stricter your habit of prayers, especially the middle prayer. And that middle prayer is when the sun is way up there, and keep it high. And the Imam also said, he says, if you lose, if you had a formula, he says, if you lose, you could bring back the teaching if you have the formula. Some way he said it. In other words, there's a certain formula that if it's ever lost, you can pick it back up again and bring it back, all praises be to Allah. And then alhamdulillah, it was a commercial artist named Warner Salmon, a commercial artist called Warner Salmon. And Warner Salmon painted a picture, and it was called like the head of Christ. And yeah. And these people, we brought this out during the message of concern once, they painted this head of Christ. And during the Second World War, they put that head of Christ all over the world. They reproduced hundreds of millions of copies of that, the head of Christ by Warner Salmon. He was from the Scandinavian countries, and he was a commercial artist. And this group, during the Second World War, so people would ask, well, why the Second World War? Is because the European nations were losing its colonies. To me, this is how I see it. The European nations were losing its colonies, and they wanted to put a heavy sight on the world. So what they did was they reproduced that head of Christ, and they put it in all types of, they blew it up to, in other words, 8 by 11. They had it in little photographs you can keep in your wallet. They made it big. They put it all in the Bibles, all the Bibles that they printed. They had the so-called Caucasian Crisis, the Head of Christ by Salmon Day, and it was this company. I forgot the name of it right now, but you could look it up yourself by Warner Salmon, and they distributed hundreds of millions of copies of the Head of Christ all over as a heavy sight to put on the world. You know, we're bowed out to the Caucasian image, that image and everything. So I thought I'd bring that up again to make us aware that these people know what they're doing. They they want to dominate. You know, they want to dominate, and they want to keep our people, our brain, in mush. not functional. And so now we can see the result of so many of our people have given up hope and sleeping on the street, and you don't have any type of vision for the future or anything they can rely on. Like we are blessed right there. So this is why we need to get the dawah and do dawah more and teach the people. Yes. So let me see. Alhamdulillah. Anybody else want to make a comment? Come on in. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, Assalam. Also that middle prayer, to another aspect of that is that, a lot of times we are so involved, in our daily activities that, we don't have time, we don't have time to bow down, at that particular time. This is what one of the commentators was saying, and at that middle prayer it's kind of hard because we feel that we're so involved in the world, by that time we got the appointments, I'll be deep involved in our work, whatever it is, we're deep involved in worldly affairs, so it makes it difficult, to that middle prayer and allow for it to guard it, put a guard on that prayer, stop what you're doing, if possible. Sometimes we have jobs, where it's just, we just can't stop what we're doing, but at other times, if we work for ourselves, just stop, and focus, on Allah at that time, that difficult time when you're so involved in worldly affairs, That's another spin on that one of the commentators had mentioned, and I reflect on that as well, that middle prayers is sometimes hard to do.
Right, and we're to remember Allah, right during the rush, the rush hours, and the hurrying and scurrying about, if we could, remember Allah, and, what we're doing. That would be a good thing. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you're right. That middle prayer right in in between Zuhr prayer and that Asr prayer is when we're very busy. And so I was just saying the Imam gave us a little bit more insight into what that ayat is actually saying. And which is a tremendous blessing as
SubhanAllah.
What I see. Yes, sir. SubhanAllah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sometimes we don't read footnotes. Sometimes the footnote helps quite a bit too. Yusuf Ali's interpretation of translation of the Quran, and that's one we instructed to use So I was thinking maybe we should, the whole community, all the Muhammad community, put some type of emphasis on the footnotes. We very seldom speak about footnotes, and footnotes give us a lot of help. And we don't read the footnotes during the month of Ramadan reading, but any other time, I just think we should go to the footnotes sometime. Let's see. Footnotes are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the footnotes to the ayat, 238, when we're speaking of. Footnote 271 there. It says the middle prayer. It says the salat may be translated. It's Ali speaking. The best and most excellent prayer, authorities differ on this as to exact meaning of this phrase. The weight of authorities seem to be in favor of interpreting this as the Asr prayer, the middle of the afternoon prayer. This is apt to be most neglected, and yet this is the most necessary to remind us of Allah in the midst of our world affairs. You know, Brother Rashad was saying a little while ago, we're so busy right at that time, taking breaks and, right into this work and whatever we're doing, that little prayer. That's why it's so important that we're instructed to remind us of, to make that middle prayer. So I was just saying that in reference to the footnotes are very important. There are differences. Some authorities have differences concerning now the first prayer after Maghrib prayer, the new day starts after Maghrib. Is that correct or not?
The new day starts.
Mm-hmm.
They say at Maghrib time, mm-hmm. right during the Ramadan. I know, especially during the Ramadan season.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So the middle prayer would actually be, there's two ways you could look at it. You know, the middle prayer, since the new day starts at Maghrib, so you got the Isha prayer and then the Fajr prayer. And then in the middle there would be the noon prayer and the Asr prayer. You know what I mean? You could say the day starts at Fajr prayer. All depends, you know.
I know that. Yeah, that's the point I was making. You know, it all depends. Mhm.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, the Holy Quran says those who follow the word and follow its best meaning, you know, those are the ones that are blessed by Allah and guided by Allah, who find it, you know, who find. Now, it says here in that translation, in that footnote, it says authorities differ as to the exact meaning of this phrase. It says the middle prayer, al-Salat al-Wusta, may be translated the best or the most excellent prayer. The best or the most excellent prayer. Authorities differ as to the exact meaning of this phrase. And see, you know, this is why we love Imam Muhammad. Imam Muhammad was able to make connections that we wouldn't actually see. He made, Imam Muhammad made connections between the sun and then Joshua. He jumped over to the Bible, Joshua. you know, Joshua, you know, made the sun stand still. So who, you know what I mean, who would have made that type of leap over there, you know, from reading this about the Holy Quran says God is the you know, especially noon prayer, where we know that the noon, actually the middle prayer is the one with the sun is in its zenith up there in the sky. The sun is at its highest between the noon prayer and the afternoon prayer. And Imam Muhammad was able to go and talk about Joshua. Joshua made the sun stand still, you know what I mean? Right there.
So you make the dual prayer. You make the dual prayer after not at the zenith, after it passes the zenith. That's when you make the noon prayer, you know? Not the zenith, after it passes the zenith. Things that's forbidden, it's not accepted if you make it at the zenith. No, you gotta go past the zenith, then the dual prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I just heard the leaders in other things speak about those what we're discussing right now about those times. You know, just haven't had that conversation come up. You know, since I've been in the community about those different times, beginning after Maghrib prayer or the Father prayer in the morning. You know. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do, as a matter of fact, I got the Ramadan session in 2007, and the man was speaking on the different times of the prayers, and he really went into that too in the Ramadan session 2007, which we reading this week on the Lifeline. I don't know if y'all been on the Lifeline this week.
No, not me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been reading from the session 2007. And the reading this morning, man, was speaking about, and a couple of days ago, we were speaking about the Asr prayer and Dua and times, and he went into it quite in detail, you know. Also, today, the last reading today, we're reading about the Dhikr. He's saying how the proper way to do the Dhikr. So I got to go back and go back and look at that again, too.
Mm-hmm. Right, alhamdulillah. If anybody else want to comment, I got all your lines, all of our lines are open. Like I was saying, though, I found it fascinating, and this is one of the reasons why I was able to, not only just me, but just able to look into the sciences. You know, it's because of that right there, that ayat right there that Imam Muhammad taught on, and it's in it, and I got it somewhere around here. I'd like to find his actual talk on that, but it's kind of like a translation, not a translation of what, you know, the words that, you know, they wrote down his talk, you know. And
it would be good if you could find that information that you're telling about what the man said on that. That would be good, because a lot of times no people actually reference. You know, where'd you get that? Where did we get that from? Who? Come, you got a reference? Tell us where'd it come from, you know. So it'd be good if you could find what the man said on that.
Also, that new book out where the Imam comments, I think Imam Mateel Sahir had something to do with that. Him and Yahya Abdullah and some others, they have this book of the Imam's commentary on the Quran. And I think it costs about $50. So anybody got any information on that?
Oh yeah, I heard about the book myself, and some of them haven't accepted that, because they they got a lot of quotes and things that's not speaking about what the Imam has said. So there's everyone haven't accepted that book. Matter of fact, they're trying to do a reprinting of it because it was such bad quality. So he spoke on himself. He said, we can't use that same purpose anymore because it's just terrible quality. It's almost coming apart. So that's why they haven't been able to reprint it, because some people are saying, why would you put out that book in such a poor quality like that? Some people, they got it already and started falling apart. He spoke on all of them and considering find another publisher and just. So I've heard about the book. Did you get it yet?
I haven't got it. Who else is behind it? Now, I know I've heard it talked about on the Imam Mikhail Sahir show, who else? I mean, I heard him mention Imam Yahya Abdullah. He contributed also.
Yeah, I think there's over five or six or seven other men that contributed to it. Imam Sahir, Mark Sahir, Imam Yahya.
I was going to need you to send this up to David, though. He just called me back again. David, I'm sorry.
Do that?
Yeah.
Somebody is talking, on us here in the same conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Al-Mufti.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Alhamdulillah. Yeah, go ahead, Muhammad Sharif.
Yeah, I was saying, I think there's, look about the six or seven imams that contributed to that book. I know Imam Sahir, Imam Yahya. Yes, a few others that contributed to it, you know. And as others say, they didn't don't quite accept it. So it's controversy on it also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they got to get it right. That's one thing. As right as possible, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Matter of fact, I don't know myself, a lot of people I don't know, but I don't know anybody who has it. Nobody that got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe they called it in just to get it right and straight, because I guess it's very important that we keep the truth. It should be the truth, close as possible to the truth. You know what I mean? Of what the imam actually said and meant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, I show, like I said, that Joshua made the sun stand still, you know what I mean, when he made connections between that ayat and the Bible, you know, and that's, like the brother said, you know, that was one of the things that make Imam Muhammad so great, is he was able to make some connections that we wouldn't see in order to guide us along and instruct us and when he said that sun is the symbol of the sciences, well, I said, wow, good God, you know what I mean? And Imam said, well, this is the type of teaching to put a people on top, you know, that will put a people on top, you see, in time, you know. You know, praise the Lord. Yep. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rashad. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Well, look at myself. No, bro. I'm doing very well. I'm doing good. I'm just listening, you know?
Yeah,
I'm just listening.
So what translation of the Quran do you use?
Well, I don't. This one, the one I was using this morning, I really don't like using that one. I tried it a couple of times, you know, but I'm gonna go back to Pictor, unless I buy, you see, my Yusuf Ali, man, that I have that real big volume. It's real big and clumsy. And, you know, in the morning, I'm either sitting up, you know, or laying back or leaning against something, and that book is too heavy. So I use the one, I use Pixar. I like Pixar. But this one I was using this morning, I really don't like. It's kind of clumsy. It's the Noble Koan, and it's kind of clumsy. So I'm going to go back to Pixar, you know. I would, unless I just buy another Yusuf Ali, there's a smaller version, because mine is just so big, man. It's real big, heavy, and clumsy, you know, me just sitting up, you know, trying to read it. So I'm going to go back to the Pictor. Unless I just find one, buy. They have a smaller version on the market of Yusuf Ali, huh?
Yes, they got them.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just smaller. Yeah, I could buy a smaller version of Yusuf, you know.
Yeah, because some of the programs I know have some other programs they do the reading of the gun, and they recommend. I can't tell them not to do. But it suggests that everyone read the Yusuf Ali's translation, since that's the one the imam asks us to read. So that's about places say, you know, they request that everyone get Yusuf Ali's translation.
Yeah,
alhamdulillah. Yeah, then this one here I have is real. It's just so big, man, so big, mm-hmm. you know. But anyway, yeah, I'll pick up another one, a smaller one.
Yeah, I got that big one, too. And the covers are offered, you know, they, you know, in time, you know, we use them and use them and reuse them. I guess, you know, that's what the believer does, consult that book and use it up, you know? I've always had a question, though, about what do you do with Holy Qurans when they really, really fall apart, when they really, really... I've seen some imams, Holy Quran, that really, really fell apart. Yeah, what do you do with
that? That's a great question. That's a great question. What do you do with the book when you're getting that straight? What do you do with it? That's a good question.
Well, like I always say, first of all, the availability of the Quran, we should never let any of them get to that point to where we love them so much to where we start to abuse them, you know. But if you're already at that stage in your development, you should put that old Quran up, just being human, you know, and being respectful to Almighty God of the law, and get you a new one. You should never let a Quran get so worn, you know, to the point to where it cannot be legible to someone else who you might give it to, or someone else who, through Allah's guidance, might put that book in their hand and it's all missing pages and things like that. You know, we have to show the respect for the Quran to people and show them how much we love the word of Allah to where we don't abuse it. There's too many Qurans sold every day for the last 500, 600, 700, 800 years. Is just for anybody to wear and be that human love concern for a book when there's trillions of them available. Allah has made the Quran accessible to anybody anywhere if they want one. You know, I would just put it up myself.
Yeah. So the question is, we have Qurans that have got in that condition because of the years. The question is on the table now is, what do we do with it after our Quran has gotten that bad in that condition for years of use? What do we do now?
Well, my first answer was I answered it. I said you need to put it up in a nice cellophane nice package and get a new one.
No, the question is, What do you do with the one that you have? That's the question that's in that condition.
Okay, listen to him again.
How do you do
okay,
him?
Listen. Okay, let me ask it again. It's without taking any value from it. There's too many new Qurans made every day for us to keep on tearing up the good one that we love and started out with. Put it in a nice portfolio or cellophane thing, so something that you can give to your appreciated children who would appreciate how you showing them how important the Quran was for you, how you used to keep it so close that you kind of tore the pages up and then over time, when you just go and then go get a new one, you know, go get a new one.
In other words, okay, you saying then if it do tear up and come apart and everything, you said just keep it anyway. That's what you're saying. Keep it anyway. And
yeah. For your own personal show of respect to Allah, how you appreciate that He gave you your first Quran. You know,
right.
Using that terminology and put you on the path of where you are now, and you want to treasure it using that language. Just put it in a nice cellophane or nice box or container that is a display piece, you know, and maybe some people can even just sit it in your home and just tell people that's my first Quran, because that's good dollar and a conversation piece on how you first became a Muslim, how Allah gave this is my first Quran. There's a lot of things that we could use to show more glorification to Allah, you know, for waking us up and giving us the first important thing in our life, and that is the word of the Quran, you know.
But just put it up
and keep it, you know.
Right. SubhanAllah. Yeah, that is about the best answer I've heard so far, you know, and I've asked people, you know, and of course, you know, we don't throw them in the trash, you know what I mean? Ooh, good God.
That's right.
And so like you say, put it in the cellophane and just show it, because I guess it has it. I guess it has its own testimony. You know what I mean? Well, this is a history right here. You see it itself. Hey,
yep.
Yeah, praise you, sir. And, you know, and make it a see-through. Make it a see-through.
That's
so,
right.
So
that's
you
right.
Can, yeah, show it to your, you know, your children.
Especially the children, the grandchildren. Yeah. That's right.
You know. Praise you, sir.
And if I can
yeah,
give,
cause
I've asked some people
who I thought was very knowledgeable, and nobody could give. Nobody want to venture to give me an answer. Everybody, you know. Yeah.
Well, the reason why I say that because I have treasures like that, my own stuff. When Allah blessed and gave me life, and I know it's good. Those are very teachable, good things to have, and it's to remind you how blessed you are when you look over there and see that. That first Quran you had, and how it's all beat up and everything like that, and then you learn other things. You learn how you can love something and abuse it, you know, and tear it apart and take the life out of it so that where nobody else can get no more life. So there's a lot of things that you can really ponder over and get great inspiration out of it. But Allah says, see, there's no excuse, because there's millions of Qurans made every year, you know what I'm saying? You know, so that it's available to us to continue our dawah work. But remember that Quran is our dawah. When we get a person in position where we can invite them to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, we know as a custom using that word, we should give them a Quran, give them their first Quran. It's good dawah, you know. And that person will go on and say, well, I remember this brother so-and-so, when I first heard about Islam, and then one day he gave me this Quran, or this class he gave me first Quran. Because I know at some mess, some masjids when I was coming up, that whoever took the shahada, we gave them a Quran, you know, and to start off, and they remember that's where they got their first Quran there, from that masjid there, or that masjid over here. All the things that Allah tell us, that's why He tells us, remember Him in all that you do. Dhikr is very important. Anything that we can do or give another human being, or give our own self something to remember Allah every time we see it, or touch it, or smell it. That bean pie, that when we first taste it, lamb. Anything will make us remember that all praise is due to Allah. You know, I wouldn't be eating lamb now if it wasn't for me turning to this, or, you know, whatever. So anything that we can do to help people, that's dawah. That's why Allah tells us our whole life and everything we do is ibadah. It's worship. It's showing people how much we worship.
You know, I've heard, incidentally, if anybody else want to get into the conversation, press one on your phone and I'll see you in the studio here. I'll bring you into the conversation. Just press one on your phone if you want to say something. But, you know, the imam is so great. You know, he talked about how his father was the one he used to teach us, hold it high, don't hold it low. You know what I mean? You keep it in the highest place of your home, where you're at. You know, Brother Muhammad Khatib, he gets Qurans. You know, they don't have Arabic in them, but they're just all English. And, you know, like he gets cases of those. You know, Ruben Khatib, you know, Muhammad Khatib, the one who do the Juma. And so I've been able to give a few non-Muslims Holy Quran, and I tell them, you know, keep your hands clean and don't read it in the bathroom, you know, don't read it in the bathroom, and, you know, respect it, you know, put it in the highest part of your home, and they just look at me, you know, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but thank you very much, you know. So all that came from, you know, some of them teachings like that. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, he used to say, don't hold it on your lap. Hold it high, don't hold it low. You know, keep it in the highest part of your home. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
Yes, Father.
Yeah, I know I come in late and everything like that, but I heard at 9, and I just wanted to respond on some of the things that y'all covered when I was listening. Just like when we are confronted with choices, you know, we all know that we're supposed to lean toward the Quran and dua that Allah bless us to make the choice toward what is right, you know, in everything, and we're going to be tested. So, like the question about the guard the middle prayer. See, as a person who was born and raised in an Islamic community and has been blessed to learn the history and some of the basic things about the Quran and the basic things about the prayer, you know, you're supposed to always stand there like there's nothing in front of you but the Quran and the whispers of the shaitan. And then say, which choice are you going to make? Now, here's what Allah say. You know, now Allah say our life is based upon the lunar calendar. So my day begins at Maghrib. My middle prayer is Fajr, and it is show of its wisdom. Fajr is just as crowded when it comes to traffic and your mind getting geared up to get ready for the day of work or whatever you got in front of you. You know, you're getting ready to get into it. You're getting ready to get into the world. So that Fajr prayer, that reading the Quran, after you get that Fajr prayer, having a good suhoor, so that when you go out in that world, you are going out heavy. You're going out heavy. So there's the since we are you wouldn't even look at the Gregorian calendar or any other calendar. My calendar, my life and my worship is based upon the lunar cycle. So my middle prayer would be Fajr, and we all know it's very important that in most cases it's been proven scientifically, you know, as well as strictly from Allah, when you miss Fajr, and to the point where you don't even make two rakat dafa to make up for it, and then the prayer that comes after Fajr prayer, where you get another opportunity to try to start your day right and get balanced, since you missed the early morning prayer, which is Fajr, you missed it, you know, so that you can go out into this world, in this dunya, heavily. With the Quran, with your mind on Allah and His messenger, you're recitating the Quran to yourself when you get in your car, going out your front door, when you get to your employment or get to your task today, you are ready. So we should guard that that prayer that wakes us up from death. You know, Allah has blessed our soul to come back to us in the morning to prepare for that new day, new day of work. Because the new day came in the night before at Maghrib, but the day of work starts in the morning after our Father in our world. And when we in our right world, the world that we're trying to establish in the good life of the Quran, we have to establish a world based upon the lunar calendar, based upon all the things that Allah tells us to do in the Quran and life example of Prophet Muhammad, right in this world of America, and establish two worlds, you know, so that people will have a choice to live in Deen al-Islam here in the United States of America, where there's peace, brotherhood, et cetera, et cetera, or do they want to stay in the world of the shaitan and the dunya with so many idol worshiping and so many things influencing their life, and they still don't have peace because of what they get, millionaires all the way down to the poor person who in the street don't have nothing to eat. They misery loves company. You know, shaitan has nothing for us but misery because of what he uses to keep us from making the right choice of going and spending our life and our death, like Ibrahim said, establishing what Allah has prepared for the human family, you know, and that's Deen al-Islam. So the middle prayer, when it comes to discussion, according to the Quran, and the life that our life is based upon the lunar year, the lunar calendar, that our middle prayer is Fajr. And we make dua and we pray and get more understanding of how important Fajr is. You know, how important it is to start your day off, your conscious day off, your working in the daylight, and dealing with what is clearly seen out in that world that is tempting you, attracting you. You can make them choices all that day long and not be distracted from your next prayer.
SubhanAllah.
Your next responsibility is giving the greetings, etc.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, yeah, I agree with you. But Yusuf Ali, you know, because I've had this discussion with people when I was explaining to them what I got from the Imam's teaching on the middle prayer. Well, Yusuf Ali says authorities, people who know, who are authorities, he says, differ as to the exact meaning of this phrase. He says, As-Salat al-Wusta. You know, now Yusuf Ali translated as your habit of prayers, God strictly your habit, especially the middle prayer, especially. He says, authorities differ as to the exact meaning of this phrase. So Imam Muhammad, he translated that as, you know, the sun. It has something to do with the sun, when the sun is at its highest, the zenith. And, you know, so there it is right there. You know, authorities differ as to the exact meaning of this phrase. Imam Muhammad said that when the sun is at its highest, you know, and the sun is the symbol of the sciences, you know, and Joshua made that sun stand still. In other words, he didn't let it go down. He stood right there. The sun stood still. So that society, that Joshua society, you know what I mean, venerated those sciences, you know. And I guess Joshua was one of the ones. So Joshua was after Moses, right? So he was a Jew. And so those Jews, you know what I mean, they kept them sciences up there. They knew where it is. They know where it's at, you see. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, but what makes it clear is that Allah warns us of that in the beginning of our study reading of the Quran, that y'all did not differ until you get some knowledge. You know, when the dunya and shaitan started whispering to us to get us another knowledge of alternative to distract us, like we see in the life of Adam and all the way through the history, all the way down until Allah has completed the whole circle of exemplifying what our creation and what our destiny is in the life of Prophet Muhammad. The conclusion was that there's nothing is better than the Quran, and what the Quran gives us instruction with the best, inshallah, translation that we get. Now, remember, Yusuf Ali and many Muslims at the time of 1,400 years ago, they was underneath the Gregorian calendar then, because that was running their world. They were dealing with people of a false reality, Christianity and other religions, who knowingly or unknowingly had already agreed to base their life on the solar revolution instead of the lunar. You know, so because the lunar starts at dark time, and they felt like they was in darkness at the time before the clarity of the Quran came and explained to the Muslims, here's your Qibla, you know, and gave us the lunar calendar so that we could break away from sun worship, from other different things that people were doing in the daylight, but in the dark, they was committing mortal sin, you know, because they thought people couldn't see them. But Allah turned the light on in the dark and then tell them, look how one goes from the other, but the light is still on. Look how the sun goes into the night and how the night goes into the daylight. But the sun is always on when you are following the word and the guidance of the light of the Quran. Now, before the light of the Quran was in the world, like you said about the sun worship, that was a play on words tied to, and also a gift from Allah to let us know that Jesus was considered to be the light of the world.
Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Okay,
yes, sir.
But it says here in verse 39:18, the Sahih, the National Translation, those who listen to the speech and follow the best of it, those are the ones Allah has guided. Those are people understand. And then TikTok says, who hear advice and follow the best there is. And then here's Yusuf Ali. Those who listen to the word and follow the best meaning in it, those are the ones whom Allah has guided, and those are the ones. To me, the best meaning for the Imam broke down, because it has more meaning in our lives than just, here's the middle prayer, and you're working hard to remember Allah. Of course we do that too. Of course we do that too. This is the middle of the day, and we're following, you know, and, you know, we got to stop and remember Allah. Good, good. But to me, the best meaning is what the Imam said, you know what I mean, and how he made connection with Joshua, and how he said that a society should follow the society. Not that we worship in the sun, but it's a symbol of us. So whenever we see the sun and we teach our children about the sun, you know, Imam Muhammad said the sun is the symbol of the sciences. To me, that's the best meaning, because that has a meaning for us to teach our children very early the sciences. Like I said, the biologies, the chemistry, the physics, the earth science, the space science, very early. That has more of a meaning, the best meaning to me than anything else, is what the Imam said. You know, I mean, I'm not pitting you against. I'm not saying you ain't following all that.
Oh no! You can't do that, because just like what you, like we all are being tested right now on this program here. See, we have to make a choice. You know, between the good life of the Quran and the Quran being the guidance for us in every and all knowledge. You see, because our children can ask us one day when they get real smart, they'll say, okay, who created science? So you have to tell them that Allah did. You have
right.
to tell them that. What gave you the guidance to start looking at science? My reading of the Quran. The best science book is the Quran, because it deals with the nature of your creation and everything else that is created in the heavens and the earth, and how to study it. And we have different departments of study, so that we can learn the whole process, just like Allah explained to us about how we are birthed in the physical setting. I tell how we grow from a cloud of blood. It's the same way about science. Nothing that we can come up in our mind is above Allah and what he has prescribed for us and the step process that we should follow so that we can get the best thereof out of whatever we're studying. That's what we're being tested right now. Are we going to really establish and ask ourselves in the community to come back to the good life, the good life that's guided by the directions in the Quran? And for those of you who Allah is the only one who gives each and every one of their own support and help by reading the Quran. But Allah said for you all, the common man, I'm giving you a man just like you who's living this. And just like Imam Muhammad said yesterday on your program when you played the CD, there is nobody who can do the job of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not even himself. Allah created Prophet Muhammad to do this. It's up to us to follow the best thereof. The best thereof in our human creation is Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, we all going to learn on different levels by Allah's grace. The most of us who are sincere, like he tells, he said, the best amongst you is the one who is most pious about going about hearing and obeying how to establish deen out of Islam, what I have prepared for you. But so far, nobody has even done that. Our scholars won't even take a stance on whether or not we should build and establish deen out of Islam on this earth because of their struggle with the differences of the knowledge that Shaitan is sending to them and the knowledge they already have in their possession, the knowledge of Allah and his knowledge of everything that we can think of, including Shaitan. But that is the choice that we have to develop the strength of our free will to make. Are we going to follow Shaitan, the whispers of the Shaitan, the people that is under his influence? Are we going to continue to believe and have faith in Allah and his history? He's proven that he's created Adam. He's proven that he's created the universe. He's proven that the books of Islam, which have been contaminated, all of them except the Quran. He said, now, if you really understand, all you who believe, if you really understand, I leave you with two things, my book and my messenger. But I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to coerce you, and I don't want you to do that to no other human being. I want you to use your good common sense that I have given each of them, my rule that's in each and every one of y'all. Well, naturally, you make you inclined to follow what I have given you in the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad.
Subhanallah. Does anybody else want to comment? Subhanallah, Brother Mahmoud. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Somebody else want to comment? Press 1 on your phone. I'll bring you into the queue, and you can comment. Or since I got everybody else's microphone open, if you want to comment, come on in and comment. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Right now on the table, we're talking about the imam's, what do you call it? Exegesis. In other words, his symbolic meaning of Surah 2, is it 2:138? Look it up, inshallah, do some homework. 2:238, where Allah says, guard strictly your habit of prayers, especially the middle prayer, and stand before Allah in a devout frame. It's the same before Allah. Allah Akbar. So if anybody want to comment, come on in or press 1 on your phone. Otherwise, yes, inshallah, Brother Muhammad. Continue. Go ahead and continue, Brother Muhammad.
And the test that we're going through right now, that's why it's so important that in your private du'as to Allah, every night and all day long, to ask Allah, why did you give me this challenge, and I do know that you've already given me the help that I need to overcome this challenge, but you want me to make a choice. You want me to make a choice between the good life of the Quran or the good life that I made that is exemplified in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the good life of any other human being on this earth, the good life of Abraham, because we have people who still follow Abraham, and they tried to live the life of the life of Abraham. We have people who, as we all know, follow Jesus Christ, using that terminology, although that's, you know, we understand that. And they have other different heroes in their life, using that terminology. They have other people who have positive, truthful influences on them that has helped them grow to the next level of consuming and getting more truth until the truth leads them to their creator, the creator of truth, until it leads them to the Al-Haq. Now, we as Muslims, we have been blessed by Allah to be special because he has given us permission already to be his servant. But we have to earn that position by growing from a witness and actually being in deeds and action following his human example that he's given us so that we can show the world his Akbar, you know. Now, we went for the last at least 13, 14 years and the 45 years that we have been underneath the Lord's grace and some in the mercy that he gave us in the life of the nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's leadership, the Marcus Garvey leadership. We can go back through the history here in America and see that Allah has used many people with many different beliefs, but their sole purpose, when you analyze it, it was to get us back to the one God. And Allah carried us to a step-by-step progression of all the influences that's in our life all the way up until we took the Shahada. And we were so glad when we took the Shahada because we know now we did not have to follow anybody except Allah and the life of Prophet Muhammad and those who also are doing the same thing with you. They are following Allah, the guidance of the Quran, and the life of Prophet Muhammad. And if we do that, before we know it, we will establish what they call, and they say every day, the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad is al-Islam. Deen al-Islam is the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. And the Prophet Muhammad's Ummah is based upon five principles, six or seven articles, according how you read it. So we have all of the formula. And we had to realize that it's not going to be done by our beliefs without deeds and actions. And then we're going to have faith in those steps that we take to be firm and balanced. Look at all the different things that Imam Sadr in his work is the call of the people to proper taqwa and proper dhikr. You have to learn how to stand firmly. Then he taught all the years of what balance is and how to have balance. You know, and then how to have your head help you control the body so that you can walk straight, you can stoop straight, you can pick up straight, you can work your body with your intelligence, with your soul that comes from the directions of your heart, where the Quran is. The Quran is guiding you from the inside now, guiding all of us from the inside now. Inshallah, if we submit, you know, it's kind of hard to disrespect. And that's why I know all of them, when we sit down on the bed at nighttime who have already took out a Shahada, you know what you done wrong that day and you know what you done right. You are reminded, man, you're not like the people who have not had have the Quran in their heart yet revealed to them by Allah's permission. They have not evidently qualified themselves because only Allah makes Muslims. Only Allah makes that Quran that he did it. Yeah.
SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah. Anybody else want
to
comment? SubhanAllah, anybody else want to comment? Come on in, alhamdulillah. You got about 3 minutes. We only got about 6 minutes left. You know, you got 2 or 3 minutes if you want to say something. You know, you want to wrap it up? Anybody want to make a parting comment about what we talked about? Because this little minor...
Well, I just want to say it right quick, 1 minute. When we start looking at the Quran that's in the heart of Imam W.D. Muhammad, we're going to really be shocked at how we realize how disobedient, how we have let Shaitan influence us in the dragging out the mission of Imam W. Muhammad by Allah's permission. And then we go, if we don't ask for repentance for it and accept what Imam led us to, and that's the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, we're going to continue to be in this quagmire that we are in.
All right, Bob. This question, though, about the, Worcester, this goes back some years ago, because when I read that commentary by the Imam, I ran out there and I was telling everybody and asking everybody. And, we had this debate then, And to me, that answered the question, and kind of like led me to, I'm kind of like the Imam. Imam said he loved the sciences. I guess he never really had the opportunity to get into them. Well, same thing with me. I love them. I never really had appreciate them. I appreciate them. I could see Allah is Holy Quran, Imam, have given me opportunity to understand. To understand how important they are and everything. All praise be to Allah.
Allah gave us an answer that in our first instructions. When he told us how Adam, he said, watch how I tell Adam how to name the nature of things. He was talking about science then. He said, I'm teaching y'all science right now. You have to look into the nature of things and that work that you're doing, we call it science. In modern time, we call it science. When you're studying the nature of creation, that will let you know and bear witness to you that there's something bigger than anything out there in the nature of what you are studying that lets you know there's got to be a creator.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right.
But what happened, we let this society take science and turn it into scientific and start using the word scientific and develop another language, another way to look at science, the nature of things. And now we are looking, we have artificial nature, artificial intelligence, because Shaitan has guided us slowly down the road of not... and ignoring the nature of things, the natural things, and getting us going toward the artificial science, the artificial life of science, like Frankenstein and all this stuff in our history, some of us in our childhood history, how he started brainwashing us then and corrupting science, taking science out of his true nature, the way Allah gave it to the human family.
Okay, Osbillahi Minasaitan Rajim. The lady says 60 seconds. Well, brothers, alhamdulillah, thank you very much. Alhamdulillah, for this is something for us all. This is the Good Life, Holy Quran, and Sister Claire Muhammad Education Hour. We're attempting to revive the Sister Claire Muhammad effort here in the Los Angeles area. So, until tomorrow. Or later on today too, we have message concerns 7 o'clock Eastern time. So I'm gonna say Al Fatiha and Assalamu Alaikum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin Arrahman Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqim. Siratal Ladzina An'amta 'alayhim. They will mock to be Alehim or the Dolly.
Amen. Everybody, and be safe. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Law Akbar. Until tomorrow.